Come now to an interesting portion of text. Now, up to this point, I believe that James has been addressing those who are saved, and I think, at least in my interpretation of this text, he has now switched to those who were rich in the church but were not part of the church. Do you remember earlier he says, are these, you know, they were walking in and the rich people were getting preference? I don't think James, at least the language that he's using here, I don't think these rich people are saved. Let me see if you guys know this. I've had a lot of senior moments this morning, so if I drift, it's all right. Or maybe not. Maybe it's not all right if I drift. Anybody know who that is? Who? Larry? That's Warren Buffett. Do you know he is now the wealthiest man in the world? I just checked it. I just did my research. It used to be the guy that owned Microsoft. Who's that? Oh, you guys knew that one. Bill, see, at least you're awake. I actually had to have them help me with that this morning. It's my senior moment. This is Warren Buffett. He's the richest man in the world. Bet you lives in a humongous mansion, doesn't he? No, actually lives in a very simple house. You want to take a guess at how much he makes or how much he's worth? No, not trillions. Actually exceeds $50 billion. He doesn't really live in a big house. Let me say this right up front. God is not condemning wealth. Actually, I know some very wealthy Christian businessmen that really do a lot of money or a lot of good with their money, and God continues to bless them. Actually, my wife is a benefactor of a very wealthy Christian businessman who said at the beginning that he wanted to pay her tuition for college, and he has continued to pay that. And God is blessing him. God is blessing. I mean, he's almost bought the entire town of Moments, basically. But he is a great man, and God is blessing him. So wealth is not the issue, but it's what's done with wealth that becomes the issue. And that's what James is dealing with here today. And first of all, James is talking about the rich will mourn. This is futuristic. Listen to his words here. Come now. And that's sarcasm, really. In a way, he's saying, listen up. Listen up. Those of you that are rich, that is wealthy. And notice he could have said rich brothers. He didn't say that. I think these are lost people. Weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. That certainly doesn't sound like Christians. The words here, coming upon you, are really pointing to a time when judgment is coming. And then he says the miseries. That sounds very much like the Old Testament. I love this picture. These from the dust storms of the 1800s. Here you have two people in this massive dust storm coming through. People died in these dust storms. I mean, their lungs could not handle it. They didn't have the abilities that we have today with the gas mask and all this. Also, this photographer's watching this humongous dust storm come through. What is amazing to me is that there are people who are outside of Christ that they've been told that there is a judgment day coming that's coming upon them, and yet they stand firm in rejecting Jesus Christ. Here James is saying, come now, listen, rich. Weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. He's talking here about a future judgment, and it does sound like the Old Testament. Think of when Israel rejected God and, you know, judgment faced upon them, and the nations that were used by God to capture Israel, and then those judgments fell upon those nations. This is a clear warning to us and a reminder that there is a day coming when God will settle the scores. Thank God we're on his side. There's a day coming when we will stand before Christ. I don't want to get too far into that, but the second point here, the rich will mourn. There's a warning, and then in verse 1a, notice what he says. Weep and howl. Make a note of howl. That's only used here in the New Testament, only in this place. It's a unique word. Weeping is the idea of crying to the point of deep sorrow. And howling adds to the intensity of that. Can you imagine being outside of Christ on the day of judgment when your sentence is given? Outside of Christ, the judgment has been given, And these people are mourning because they use their wealth to promote themselves rather than to do the work of God. Let me say this, and I said this morning, please let this there be no understanding here. We are not talking about if you are wealthy, you're not getting into heaven. We are talking about the abuse of wealth. You know and I know that you have to have Jesus Christ in your heart. That's how you get into heaven. Jesus warned, you know, it's harder for the rich man to pass through an eye of a needle than it is for a person to get into heaven with wealth. The issue here is that you must have Christ in your heart, but these people had rejected Christ because of their money. They had all they wanted. They didn't need any other things. We remember this. And actually, it's supposed to happen again in October, by the way. There was a miscalculation, and this judgment day passed, obviously, and it was family radio here. I don't particularly have a problem. I wish he would come back in October. I mean, honestly, I wish Jesus would come back. You know, and the guy's off. We understand that Jesus doesn't even know the day or the hour. God said that Jesus himself said, I don't know the day or the hour, and don't be worried about it. The fact is, it doesn't change the fact that there's a judgment day coming. There is a day coming when people are going to give an account for their lives. Now, I did some parallels here, and I'm just going to give you quick two. For those who are saved, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not for salvation. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you are getting your works examined. That is, I've always said this, it's your heart that's more important than anything else. Jesus is going to judge why you did what you did. In other words, all those works that you did, that's going to come before the throne. I still think it's going to be a rough time. I mean, you're standing before Jesus Christ. Yes, you're under grace, you're under mercy, I understand that. But we're going to see a lot of our works burned up because our motives were wrong. Not our salvation. And then some of us are going to stand before Jesus Christ and everything's going to be burned up except our salvation. But then there's those that are lost. Revelations chapter 20. Where they're going to be before the great white throne of judgment. I think it's the rich here. The great white throne of judgment. And the Bible says that the books are going to be open. And if your name is not found written in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not getting in. And in this issue here with James, money is not going to be able to buy God's favor. It's not going to impress God. So when the books are open and God says, what did you do with my son? The only right answer is that I've trusted in Christ. And of course, if you've trusted in Christ, you're not before him. You're not going to be able to get into the kingdom of God because you came to Sunday school or you did church religiously. You're not going to get into the heaven, into the kingdom of God because you helped little old ladies across the street or you gave cool water in the name of Christ. You're going to get into heaven because you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is it. Wealth will not buy you in. One rich man said, well, I'll just give God some money. That's foolish because the Bible says that God owns all the money and the gold and the silver. There's a judgment day coming and it's going to be a sad day. By the way, in this eternal judgment where I think he's picturing aftermath here. This wailing and howling is the aftermath of the judgment where they spend eternity separated from God in, oh boy, I'm starting to sound like a Southern Baptist, in hell. Listen, let me clue you in on something. Hell is not a metaphor. Hell is very real. And on that day when people are in hell for all eternity, they're going to wish that they had trusted in Christ. On our end, rich man and Lazarus, check it out. On our end, we're going to be safe in the arms of Jesus Christ for all eternity. I'm not saying that you can't get into heaven being rich, but it's a lot harder because you don't see your need for Christ as much when you're rich. Secondly, not only are the lost going to mourn and howl and wail and cry, and but they're going to lose their wealth. Notice these three images here. Really good images. Notice he says, and I'm going to point them out to you. This is in verse 2 and 3, and 3a. Your riches have rotted, that's 1. Your garments are moth-eaten, that's 2. And your gold and your silver are corroded, that's 3. Go with me over to 1 Peter. It's just one page over. Now, you notice that the gold and the silver and the wealth, all of that has faded. I want you to look at just one chapter over in chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to read verse 3 too, like I did this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this. According to his great mercy, that's him giving us mercy where we don't deserve it, he has caused us to be born again, that is, born anew in Christ with the Holy Spirit, not just made over, but made new, in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Check verse 4. To an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept for you in heaven. Versus the transitory nature of what these rich people have. Now let's look at this. Here's three images about how they lose their wealth. Dr. Lee, who has now since gone home to be with Jesus himself, was my Old Testament professor. And one time during the Old Testament, and if I've told you this before, I'm having another senior moment, it's okay. He said in class that he, as a young pastor, he witnessed a hearse being followed by a U-Haul. And my professor said, he's not taking that with him. You're not taking your wealth with you. Look at this. I think the Greek words here refer to wealth in general. That's a pretty nice house, actually. It's nice. It's big. You guys know what this is? Huh? It's a Rolls Royce. Anybody want to take a shot at what that's worth? Huh? That's pretty darn close. That's good. It's at least a million. That's a huge house. What does James say here about this wealth? What does he say? It rots. Oh, by the way, this garment here. I was amazed how much they wanted for this suit. Anybody want to take a shot? I don't know if this is gold lined right here. It's an Italian suit. I can't pronounce the name that way. I didn't bother putting it up there. But anybody want to take a shot at what that's? 3 to 5,000, you're way off. $15,000. Do you know I recently bought a wrapper? Did you know a rapper, I can't remember the guy's name, he recently bought his son a $150,000 car and the kid's 16 years old? Crazy. Crazy stuff. Gold and silver. By the way, James says here, we'll go back and read it, and your gold and silver have corroded. Actually, gold does not corrode. So the question is, when James wrote, and this is something I studied this week, there must have been alloy in the gold that they had back in James' day, which led to the corrosion. Now, what happens, but the bottom line is this is going to be burned in fire anyway. But what about silver? What does silver do? Tarnishes. It doesn't stay that way forever. Here's the deal. The point is that these things will fade away. These images that we spend so much time on, that we give so much of our attention to, how we look, our image. Do you know in our society, image is everything? It is everything. How you look. God doesn't care about the outside. God cares about the inside. And what we give credence to and what we focus on, I'm not saying you should look like a bum, but we can't have all of our time spent on what we are wearing, which moths are going to eat. And you think about it, the clothes that I had when I was a kid, they're no longer existing. They've faded. This stuff is all transitory. He says you're going to lose it. You don't take this stuff with you. Now, there's a mistake that's made by these wealthy people. I guess this probably wouldn't go over too well at a financial seminar for rich people, but the mistake is found in verse B, 3B. Look, I never noticed this, and again, James has been teaching me a lot of new stuff. I've really enjoyed it. Their corrosion will be evidenced against them and will eat your flesh like fire. I think that's a direct connection to the judgment in hell. But there's something else that's here. Notice this. Their corrosion will be evidenced against them. It is their life will be a witness before God about how they lived. You had all these great, wonderful things. The rich man and Lazarus. I brought him up the second time I brought him up, so you might want to check it out. The rich man had all of this, but he didn't have Christ. And at the end of it, he said, would you just give me a little drop of water? No, you had your good things in your life. James is warning these people who had come into the church that were rich. By the way, rich people can influence churches. I wish I would have known it. It's all right. Another senior moment. Jim, we got to fix that pulpit. That came off. I wish I'd have known this years ago. There was a wealthy man in my church, and he was the first guy to put his hand out to me. Be careful when somebody offers you their hand real quick. Generally, they want something. I learned that. This man was wealthy, and you know what? I had the hardest time with that man. The mistake, you have laid up treasures in your last days. I'm going to try to fool you guys again. I'm staying way back from that thing now. What prison is that? No? What is it, Jim? You're right, that is Fort Knox. Guess what they have at Fort Knox? How much do you think they have? I had a lot of questions today. Actually, there's a lot of gold at Fort Knox. I couldn't even find how much they have. This is some of the inside. This is one little section of Fort Knox. You know, I wouldn't mind going shopping there just for a few. You know what's interesting about this? A lot of the gold is kept at Fort Knox, but you know what's so interesting about it? Is none of us will ever be able to get to it. Just like in the Day of Judgment, when the rich man standing before God, he'll not be able to get to his gold because he will not have access to it. God will destroy that. Actually, it becomes a witness against him. I think it says something to us. We got to be careful about our money. Make no mistake, everybody in here is rich. Did you know that? I said this to the first crowd. My parsonage over there in some countries would be a mansion. We're given a lot. We have a lot of stuff in this nation. And this nation is on the verge of collapsing because of stuff and leaving out God. And you got to be careful. I mean, you go over, and James hits it in the last few verses, and I'm not going to beat it all to death. But here James is clearly telling us, I mean, if you see, come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. That is the judgment. And your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and your silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you on the day of judgment, and will eat your flesh like fire. That is, all of that stuff is going to come back up on you. You're going to feel that for all eternity because you have rejected Christ. Then I think we need to take a page out of here and go, wait a minute, I need to have a different approach towards my money. We need to be investing more in the eternal things and forget these temporal things. Now, what I am not saying is you shouldn't plan for your retirement. That would be dumb. You need to plan. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with IRAs. You know what I'm saying. It's when your money takes precedence over Christ, it becomes an issue in the heart. I think it's something we need to, it's not going to affect us in one way, but our judgments will be messed up. God will say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Jesus will say that. A lot of stuff we have is going to be burned up, and a lot of stuff that we put so much time into is going to be gone. We need to go look at our priorities. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But lastly, not only will the rich mourn and they lose everything, but they're going to be condemned by God in the first charge. Now, he gives four charges here. I think this text is fascinating. It can tie into national problem of debt that we have in this nation, bazillions of dollars. Here, God will condemn them for oppressing the poor. Notice this. I find some comfort in this, in these verses here. Listen to this. Behold, the wages of the laborer, those who worked in your fields, which you kept back by fraud. What he's saying here is, these people worked. They went out, probably picked wheat and barley, which is what James is talking about. These laborers worked days in the field, and at the end of the day, they would come and they would try to get their pay. And the rich person that owned them said, I'm not paying you. They were oppressing the poor. But notice, and I think this happens today in countries where totalitarian dictators are ruling. I think of North Korea right off the bat, where their people are working, the military is getting fed, and Kim Jong-il, whatever his name is standing, is going to be given an account. And look, this is still coming up. Watch this. And those laborers are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvester have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. That means that any time that there's injustice in this world, it comes before God. This picture really touched me this week. I don't know if this is a man that's in Israel that's flat broke. I don't know too much about this man. But I do know he's destitute and homeless. Does that move you? Can you look at this and be okay? There was also a verse that really hit me this week. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. I find that this verse is totally fascinating to me. Look at this again. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. God owns everything. It also made me think about sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I've become cynical of people when they call the church wanting money. Maybe because I've been burned so many times. And then I see this verse and I think, is that wrong? Should we give money? Even if we think we're getting ripped off. That's a tough call. I don't think we should allow them to go out and buy booze and stuff like that with it, obviously. Kind of wondering about that this week in my own heart. But notice this, lends to the Lord. I think God's connected to the poor. We're lending him his money. That's mind-boggling. James, I think we should be much more generous. There's a lot of good organizations around Salt and Light. There's a lot of shelters around, I think, that we should be supporting. Might make me think differently next time we get a call, Jim, about a person needing money. Yeah. I don't want to be accused of oppressing the poor. I want to help them. I guess it spoke to me this week about this. Second charge, living in luxury. Notice he says, you live on the earth in luxury. That is extravagance. And in self-indulgence. Those two Greek words, luxury means extravagance. Self-indulgence means unrestrained. So it's unrestrained extravagance. That means to go beyond. I think two people live here. That's not really overboard, is it? I think Emmett commented this morning he'd like to have the property to sell it. Maybe overdone. And you know what's so funny is how many castles or things are left from the 1500s? Probably not many. If you go back, even back to Jesus' day, they could barely find some of the artifacts. But there's something interesting here. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. What is he talking about? You get the extravagance? It's like they are pouring it in. They are eating. And what is left is the day of slaughter. Now, actually, I like bacon. We do it for another reason. But there's a day when this pig reaches its max potential and they say it's time to wind up on Pastor Mike's dinner plate. Or somebody's plate. Levi, that's a pig. That's a pig. This is what it's like. All this wealth and all this stuff has fattened their hearts and they can't see Christ. So this life of luxury, please never pray to be rich. I had a young kid tell me one time, I want to be rich. I think Paul would tell us to be rich in good works, maybe. This last one is pretty tough. It's persecuting Christians, or at least how I translate this. Notice he says, you have condemned. That's hilarious. That's a hoot. Because they have condemned those who are righteous, but they themselves are condemned. Look at this. The Greek word there for condemn means to get a verdict. And in this case, probably a messed up court system or a corrupt court system was persecuting Christians back during this time, where the rich people could go up and they could buy a verdict. Probably against those that were working. Now, some say that this next verse, and have murdered the righteous person, some say that that refers to Christ. It could, but I think that's out of context. I think it refers to those who these workers, by the landowners not paying them a wage, eventually they could not feed themselves, and eventually they die. All of that money's taken. But there's a bigger issue here. Do you know that today more Christians are being persecuted than any other time in history? This is Pastor Youssef. He pastors in Iran. He was out preaching the gospel in his little church, and he was arrested along with his wife. He was imprisoned. He was also drugged to have him. They tried all kinds of different drugs to work to make him renounce Christianity and convert to Islam. That failed. The Iranian Supreme Court viewed him in a negative light and gave him the death sentence. June 28th, just several days ago, the Iranian Supreme Court upheld the death sentence for Pastor Youssef. His wife is going to get life in prison. Not to mention other atrocities, probably. Because he is a Christian, because he is proclaiming Jesus Christ to a Muslim world that needs to know Christ. These were the charges: apostasy and evangelizing Muslims, and his sentence was death by hanging. It could have very well been carried out yesterday. Listen, let me say this with love, but in reality, we got it easy. Nobody comes to your door threatening to shoot you because you're a Christian. They go to his door. They go into his house. I don't know about the children. They said that they were with family members. I would encourage them to probably get out of Iran. Take the kids. Our government's really not going to do anything. If I was the president, I would. Because I'm a Christian. These charges here of apostasy, that's easy to understand. He went from Christianity to, or from Islam to Christianity. Evangelizing Muslims, you can't do that. By the way, this is happening not just in Iran. This is happening all over the world, folks. And guess what? It may not be in my lifetime, and it may not be in some of your youth's lifetime, but I'm going to tell you, unless Jesus comes back, there's a time when this is going to take place in America. It's going to cost for our faith. Some ways it already is. But not to the point of being this radical. By the way, please pray for these people. Pray for pastors, these Christians that are worshiping in underground houses. That's where they have to worship. But the bottom line here is, and there is in Revelation, the day of the martyrs, when the martyrs reach a certain amount and the blood has been spilt, then the issue will be dealt with. God will deal with this. But the bottom line is, this hurts. And we need to be praying for them. I saw his face and it really made a reality that he's going to die short of a miracle from the Iranian president. He will be executed. And I don't know the fate of his wife. I know it's life in prison. At least that's what they were talking. If you go on the Voice of the Martyrs website, you can check out a lot of these. People are being killed. But God is not going to let that go. Just like Jesus, he died, but he rose again. And just like Jesus, we will rise again. So the question here today is, maybe you need to rethink your money, rethink your plans. Maybe there's a rich person that you need to talk to about Christ. Maybe they'd be open to talk with you about Christ. Maybe you need to accept Christ for the first time in your heart today. You can do that right now today. Maybe something else God spoke to you about that you need to work on with him. You do that. And please remember, one old pastor once told me this, and I think it's true. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So keep that in mind.